Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Point right there.
Wow, the little guy.
Give me a break. Is he checking out at Quantico? This Kenny Mallard should go home to his wife because nobody here loves him.
Welcome to Celtic Stuff Live on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for your Boston Celtics who drop Game 3 to the Milwaukee Bucks. Are now down 2-1 in this series. The last time you heard from me and John was only a week ago, and the Celtics had dropped Game 1 at home. So here we are, the first home game for the Milwaukee Bucks, the same outcome. And I imagine there's going to be some vitriol in this here episode. We have not done a really great job of being with you on a weekly basis for much of this season, but here we are. And seems like an interesting time for you and I to get back into it. This series from the very beginning has been set up to encourage the style and, or I should say, forget it. I'm not going to say encourage. That's too soft.
Go for it.
Favor it. Heavily the style of the Milwaukee Bucks. And what's good for the goose is not always good for the gander. I thought it was going to be encouraging in the first half, John, when the Celtics were getting them into foul trouble. Many of the Bucks, although it's just so funny how Giannis just, it's not on Giannis. It's on that other guy all the time when it comes to foul trouble. And they just continuously allow him to charge, whether that be out on the break or with a back to the basket, something that we complained about, or I complained about on the last show, happened again. He got away. They call it a block. It's a goaltend. Marcus Smart absolutely fouled in the act of shooting. They put him on the line because they're over the limit instead. So many things. Those are the two big ones for me. So many things about this game. Infuriating to watch. I'll let you go ahead and kick in here because I could probably just keep going.
I'm angry, Justin. I'm angry, bro. This is, look, okay, we have a clean rating from the good people at Apple
iTunes.
I want you to all understand, for those of you who haven't been with us since the beginning, back to 16 years ago or plus. When we get in games like this, okay, sometimes language flies. Okay. So if you are listening to this with someone of a younger age,
bad, John. This when is, you're the one laying out the disclaimer, because I'm usually the one that lets them slip in throughout the show. My gait is not as strong as yours is.
I just don't want to be like, oh, I wish I didn't say that. I don't want to catch myself because I'm angry, bro. This is all right. From here on, this was some bullshit today. This was some bullshit. Like, what the hell's going on, NBA? What are we trying to do? We know what they're trying to do. That's the thing. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. We'll go down.
Well, here's another one. Here's another one.
Yeah.
How about when Portis goes over the top and comes down with an elbow on Robert Williams, and then not a couple of minutes later, does Grant Williams get called for going over the back?
Well,
not only did that play with Portis get a non-call, then in transition there's buckets, and then minutes later, Grant Williams, not nearly as egregious of an over the back, and it's put them on the line time. I really don't get it.
Remember when we, you know, we can police ourselves. And we'll make sure if we miss something, we get it the next time and all that. And I'm okay with that. Like, I understand you can't see everything. And sometimes, we missed that one. That's fine. Like, look, I get it. Like, I'm totally okay with that idea of not every missed call is a problem. The problem is when the philosophy of the game is, as Ime quoted, we're not going to call it unless you get knocked down.
What the frig is that?
That charge call on Grant, okay? How many friggin' times have we seen Giannis Antetokounmpo steamroll some poor bastard the same friggin' way?
And they're making the point, too. Nothing. They're all getting their feet down.
It's an and one.
It's extra points. Yeah.
Asshole.
Nah, it's so ludicrous.
Pissed off right now. I'm so angry with the NBA.
Didn't you know it was going to go this way when the Celtics had the free throw advantage in the first half? Didn't you know that the second half was going to play out where they were going to let Milwaukee do anything that they wanted?
That's probably fair. I mean, I'm not saying
it's set up. Whenever you see that in a physical game like this, it's a setup.
Yeah. I hear you.
It's an absolute setup. That's how they don't look bad. No. Do this for me, John.
Yeah, go.
Pull up the free throws. No, just pull up the free throws.
Mm.
It's not statistically. See, this is the thing.
28 Boston, 28 for 34. Milwaukee, 14 for 17. Oh my God! The Celtics got every call.
Exactly.
What? Did I miss something? There's no way.
They're grabbing. They're reaching around and grabbing. They're holding.
Right.
Like, they're absolutely allowed to get away with. It's not just a physical contact. Both teams are physical. Sure. So let's not get it twisted there. Both teams are playing physical. It's just to Milwaukee's advantage because they have a much bigger lineup. But what it is doing is it's congesting everything for the Celtics offense. We talked about this after game one. They can't get free to get their offense in motion because they're getting clobbered. I still don't understand why we're not starting out higher and getting the ball moving, you know, sooner in the game. But I still think there are some things that the Celtics can do. But you even see, like, how many deep threes, even Al Horford three steps back from beyond the arc just to get a shot off. It's ludicrous. And they have to stop allowing players that are mediocre defenders get away with that. Like, you want to give, you know, even Jrue Holiday, you want to give him a little bit of leeway because what did he have? One foul in the game because he's an excellent defender. Okay. I get it. You don't call everything. Maybe he gets away with a little bit because 90% of the time he's just a tough defender, but the Pat Connaughtons, and I'm over it, dude. They are just not that good of defenders to be wreaking that much havoc.
If they want to give Giannis that type of, you know, ability, which is completely absurd, okay? It's completely absurd.
Is it worse than LeBron?
Because
they let LeBron do that big, strong, you know, middle linebacker size power forward, really tall middle linebacker. They let him get away with that because he's a bigger dude. So it's whatever. But I think it's worse for Giannis.
I think so. I think it is because
including the traveling.
Well,
like that dude,
I don't know what is going to travel anymore. I really don't.
You can't, you shouldn't be able to pick up the ball and spin and then set your feet and go into a shot. That to me is traveling.
I won't take that from you in any way. I just don't understand. The thing that I'm at is like, if you want to your point about the Connaughtons and the Wesley Matthews and the Grayson Allens, if you want to give those guys the ability to do that, then you better to hell give Grant Williams the ability to draw a charge or Marcus Smart or whoever the hell is down there.
If they're going to take a beating, they get a call.
If you're right, either way, if you're going to give Giannis that extra bit of runway because he's Giannis, you sure as shit better give the same runway to Jason Tatum to be able to get something going. Now, Jason played concussed today. I'm not sure he was concussed. He played like he was concussed. When he threw that ball off of whoever it was, George Hill's head, I'm like, what the hell is going on with him right now? But he was out. And why was he out of it? Maybe it had something to do with the fact that they were holding him, mugging him all day long, you know, and they've been mugging him for the last three games. So fine, if Giannis wants to be upset that he's not getting the calls, stand in line, bro, because the guy number zero on the other team, take a number, because he gets to the front of the line in terms of what he's not getting for calls.
Yeah, it's been brutal to watch. Even the national media after this game. Now, the Celtics had chances to win, but even the national media called out the refs. You don't see that very often. I think Stan Van Gundy.
Remember Stan Van Gundy during game, was it game two? Was it the game we did? Maybe it was game two.
It's game one.
He's like, oh, it was game one. Okay. And he's like, that's a foul. That's a charge. Nope, nothing. No, just game two, we win. But we're right back to square one again. It was game three. What what you just brought up, and I said this multiple times as I was tweeting through the game. Who wants to watch this? Like, if you don't have a chance to defend, to earn your spot and stay there and be able to be there and let yourself defend somebody, and you can't get the benefit of the fact that the guy runs you over, then why are we even playing the games? Let's just shut the whole damn thing down. Give Giannis the trophy, and we can all go on summer vacation. Because it's a waste of time. You're wasting my time watching this game if you're going to already give him the trophy. I'm done. There were so many times I wanted to shut it off. Yet for some reason, because the Bucks were not that good.
By comparison to the Celtics,
they're really not. They're good, but they're not great. The Celtics have a great team, and they have the ability to get there. And as shitty as they played today, they were able to raise their game. The Celtics were at the last, 7 minutes to go, right? They made this a game.
Hey, make their open shots. Make 35% of their open shots, and they win this game. They still have some culpability because there were misses. Wide open, Tatum, you know, definitely guilty of that. He had a couple wide open looks that just didn't go down. The Celtics could have still won this game. And when Milwaukee was pulling away, they were hitting those shots. And to your point, the Celtics were able to crawl back in and fight, you know, in the middle of that fourth quarter and put themselves in a position to take it. And even when they were up by one with like a minute to go, Grant Williams got an offensive rebound, killed more clock, and really did have a second offensive rebound, but he lost the ball and it went out. Now, here's my thing. His hand didn't go swatting at that ball for the rebound. So why did the ball go flying when the rebound is coming straight down? Why did the ball go absolutely straight vector perpendicular or parallel to the floor
vector
Yeah. Whatever, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I
straight across.
I get it. I know
what
you're
saying.
Why? Yeah.
Because somebody came over his back and beat the shit out of him and the ball went flying, but not because his hand was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to volleyball spike this into the front row.
Yeah.
That's not at all what happened there. All that kind of contact, it was like, no, we got to give the Bucks a chance. Celtics didn't put it in. Can't keep giving them offensive rebounds.
Jesus.
That's a foul. He's on the line. They're distancing themselves in that game, and they should have won.
Right. Right. I mean, I just – right. So let's agree with you. I mean, the third quarter was some of the worst basketball the Celtics have played all year. They were just despondent. It felt like Tatum's issues, for whatever they were today, kind of infected everybody. There was no flow, no momentum, no sort of cohesive thought between the whole team. And they just, both ends of the court, they really were struggling mightily. They got it back in the fourth, and credit to them for being able to get there. And Jaylen Brown, really the one who really kind of turned it around there. And let's Al Horford. Let's also kudos to Al Horford on a great day too.
Not a great day. An amazing day.
Okay.
Like seriously. Like,
where are you going with this? Okay. Yeah.
Way, probably one of his best playoff performances type of day.
Yeah.
I mean, when you take the, maybe he's had better stat lines, but the amount of rebounds, the points, the assists, but then the defense, especially when they're not getting calls for him to still defend at that level and not foul out in a game where, I mean, I guess that's why I didn't foul out, but
well,
he was amazing.
Yeah, but there was that one where he, the one where Rob Williams gets run over and they call the foul on Al because he lightly kind of breezes against the ball as Giannis is barreling through him, truck sticks, you know, Rob Williams, and then we're like, oh, foul on Al Horford. What? Yeah, cool, dude. Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm sorry. Probably this isn't fun to listen to the day after, days after. I'm sure
There's nothing that you're saying that nobody else hasn't been saying all afternoon leading up to us recording.
It's just it's frustrating that the league puts a product like this on the floor on a Saturday afternoon, and they're like, "Yep, this is how we're gonna kind of make it happen." The Celtics, did they play well? No. Did the Bucks play well? Not really. Giannis was amazing. Drew Holiday is, you know, for what hits every shot that just kicks you in the gut of your stomach, it feels like. But I'll tell you, I'm still not scared of him, really. And maybe that's crazy to say, you know, being down.
Yeah, I'm not scared of the Bucks. I'm scared of the refs. Of
eight versus five. And if we can't, if I'm going to say we, if the league can't defend Giannis like that, then honestly, shut the whole thing down. Like, let's just play pickup at the Y or something. Like, I don't even, it's not fun. It wasn't fun watching. It was fun watching the Celtics come back, but it was kind of like against all odds. We're doing it against the refs and the Bucks to make this comeback happen, right? It wasn't because we played well. It wasn't because, well, we defended well or played, you know, we were like really in sync or anything like that. No. It was because we were doing the opposite of what seemingly all the forces were working against us. And that's why it was fun to see the end of it. But before that, I was ready to stop the TV on so many different occasions. Again, not because the Celtics, if it was in any other game, and if I was like an uninterested observer, I don't know how I could watch this. It really makes for a bad product from the NBA's standpoint.
Yeah. Here's what's interesting. Take away the ability for them to mug. just play the game like normal, clean.
Yeah.
Do the Celtics win by 15?
Well, they'll have to make an open shot.
I mean, Brook Lopez is not. Yeah, you'd have to make an open shot. That's, but here's the thing. They can't space because, yes, the open shots, and that's a problem. But they can't space because they can't get into the offense. And I agree that it's a tough interior defense. Mm-hmm. But one of my complaints about this Celtics team for much of the season, even when they started turning it on, mm-hmm. was that many times they still weren't really going inside. One of the major light bulbs for their performance was when Tatum started to do that. And even really Tatum turning the superstar corner was no longer settling for threes. And that's been going on all season.
Right.
But then the creativity of getting into the paint and making the right pass. The thing is when they throw everybody at you, and out on the perimeter when you're initiating the offense, they're clutching and grabbing. There's no room to get spacing because all the help. And this is why it's a misnomer that Milwaukee is this good of a defensive team. When you allow them to clutch and grab on the perimeter like that, of course their slow ass bigs are going to rotate over and help defend and always be there. If you called the game normally where that perimeter wasn't allowing the clutching and grabbing and they were able to get things moving and the ball was going to move, every time that help defender got over there, it would be just a little bit later, which would allow them to move the ball to the open man more often. And because they're clutching them, the help defense, as soon as they actually get around the defender who just literally put their arm all the way around them as they turn the corner, they just grab them. As they fight through that, and fight through contact, it's not body contact, it's arm contact, mm-hmm. which is illegal. Once they fight through that, the big is over, they're doubled, and there's no space to make that pass. It congests everything. That's where this is wrong. It's not the physicality. It's not even like the charges definitely bug me because it's not equal. But if you called that part equal, hey, we're just not calling everything a foul. Okay. I mean, everything a charge. Okay. As long as it goes both ways, no big deal. It's really, I mean, this league got rid of, and this is to your point about it not being fun, this league got rid of hand checking specifically because this is not the product of basketball that they wanted to put in front of us. So I get it. It's not hand checking. It's just draping. Yeah. So that's worse than hand checking. So get rid of this and bring back hand checking because this is an onyx. You already said this is not what you want. So why are we watching it?
Right. Right. I don't think that I actually don't think Milwaukee is. I think they've changed a bit of what they're trying to do defensively, particularly between games 1 and 3. They were much more worried about the perimeter in game 3 than they were in game 1. And I thought that the drives were there for
that's
for
Tatum, because of the game 2 performance.
Yeah.
Like Brown went off. Right. They were hitting outside shots. Grant Williams was going bananas.
Yep.
They had that 20-point lead and they had to make that adjustment so that it couldn't happen again. I agree with that.
But they got to make that adjustment in the middle, right?
All they did was go back to what they did in game 1. I don't think that game 1 and 3 are different. I think game 2 is different from game 1 and 3. I think they went back. I think that they all thought in game 2 what we thought. No way are they going to be allowed to do that again. They got away with that bullshit in game 1. They're not going to allow it for us in game 2. So they didn't do it as much. Look what happened. We got our asses kicked. What have we got to lose?
Right.
And we're going to be at home. So we know we're going to get the benefit of the calls. Let's do it again. And look, they allowed us to do it again.
Yeah. Imagine that. Imagine.
But the thing is they could have gotten away with it in game 2.
So
I think they leaned off of it. It's not like there were foul calls to your point.
Right.
Milwaukee just didn't think they were going to pull it off again. Consciously, they didn't do it.
Exactly. And so So you have a different approach, you know, in game three or game two, but game three becomes this situation where you let the mugging come back, you let them hug and grab and touch and all that. And Tatum, in terms of, what can you do? Right. Because the truth is that there are things the Celtics can do to overcome what the Bucks are doing and where it impacts.
Punch them back in the freaking mouth.
Right.
They need to start becoming the assaulters.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, you know, when you go into game four, Tice's minutes need to have purpose.
Yeah.
Grant needs to have
purpose. He needs to do the Lambeer.
Right. Right.
He's got to go out there, and I know he's not 6'11", but
you're right. They are too comfortable.
Yeah.
And if the officials are only going to call the first hit, you better make sure there's a second, a third hit, because right now they're comfortable out there. Drew is able to go wherever he wants to go. And our guys are ended up on the floor. How many times did Tatum hit the floor today? A lot.
How about Smart? There was one on a rebound. He was just on the ground and there was a no call. Like it's ridiculous. Okay. No, so this is going to be a tale of two halves in a way in terms of this show. We've done enough complaining about the officials on the first half. I'm going to take us to the ad read and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some potential, you know, not positives. There's nothing positive to take away from this series, but there are, well, let me get into it. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the playoffs, Major League Baseball fights, and even next season's NFL futures. And don't forget this weekend, as the Run to the Roses is on at the Kentucky Derby. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code. And if you don't know it by now, shame, shame. Actually, I don't know your name, but the promo code is CLNS50, and you can receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. So, John, here's the positive side. Typically, when you see a series where the fix is in this bad, the team on the receiving end does end up winning narrowly in game seven. Not always. Didn't necessarily happen. Happened against Toronto and then not Miami in the bubble, because it was two series in a row where the Celtics fell victim to kind of a similar circumstance. Although this team is a lot bigger in the Milwaukee Bucks than either Miami or Toronto was in the bubble, but it was a similar mugging that was allowed. That was, very, very frustrating to experience as a fan. Having said that, I feel like, to your point, I still like the Celtics odds. I still like their chances. I almost feel like the league wants it this way because they know there's some bad blood here and they want to draw this bad blood out seven games. The problem is at some point here, pretty soon, somebody could get really hurt. I mean, I don't see this going on like this safely. I really don't. I can't believe how much the tempers have been kept in check when this is being allowed the way that it is. I said after game one, this was dangerous. Like, this is dangerous. And so here we are again. Having said that, if the Celtics come out on top after seven, how much easier are they going to find it to initiate their offense the rest of the way? Can you even think of another team that's going to play? Like, Miami will play physical, but I don't know that Miami will get away with the same stuff on the perimeter. I don't think, Miami needs Phoenix. Miami needs the game to be opened up to.
Phoenix can get into it too. I mean, they've got Jay Crowder and they've got, they can mix it up, but I don't think it's as disrespectful. Is that the right way to look?
Well, here's the issue. Both of those, both Miami and Phoenix, while they can mix it up this way,
yeah,
their style of basketball is better when things are moving around and there's space, right? The problem is with Milwaukee, they're shit without this. They are. They're shit without this.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, this is what makes Milwaukee fun to watch if you're a Milwaukee's Bucks fan.
Yeah.
You know, right, fun. Because they aren't much of a real creative ball movement. I mean, they move the ball. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to disparage them.
Sure.
Like, the players know how to play the game. But their style and their success isn't predicated on that. These are two of the top defensive teams in the NBA, dot, 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 dot. When you get to start playing against Miami and Phoenix, it's not a good thing for those team styles and for the NBA and the way that they're, you know, as advertised, so to speak.
Yeah,
you need that space, especially on the perimeter, for those teams to show themselves off. Just the NBA is allowing this series to go the way that Milwaukee would need to for it to be the kind of game, that the kind of series that makes, you know, Milwaukee interesting. This is the way that they play. It's frustrating, though, because maybe the reason they're allowing that is because they're the defending champs. So the series goes to their style and you have to beat them at their own game to sort of ascend to a higher status. I don't know. Maybe this is how they're building up what they know is going to be the future of two franchises. Giannis just signed back up. He's committed long-term to Milwaukee. There's a good vibe there. Milwaukee's a, you know, a team with a, you gotta take your hats off. For a small market, they do have a big fan base. So nobody's really hurting, even though that's not a major market. And Giannis basically told the NBA, I'm not going anywhere. So you got to live with this market. If you're going to have me be, you know, the heir apparent type, you know, I'm going to be I'm the MVP, dot, dot, dot. So if you're going to do that, part of me thinks that they're also building this bad blood so that there's a rivalry for years to come.
Yeah. You got to protect the sacred cow, right? Like that's kind of where we're at. And it does feel like there's a lot of that going on here where, while the rest of the package from Milwaukee isn't all that attractive to look at, Giannis is, his story and his demeanor and his, you know, all that is really, really marketable from the NBA's perspective.
Yeah.
His game, I think, less so. But that's not to say he's like not marketable. I mean, he's more fun than Shaq to market. But he's not Ja Morant in terms of the excitement and the, you know, he's not Steph Curry. There's a balance there, right? That they're trying to strike and trying to make him be, you know, that guy. And unfortunately, we're in the middle of the crosshairs of that, right?
Yeah. So do you think if they get through this series that it'll be a lot easier going?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Don't you feel like they're just going to, like, all of a sudden they're going to be able to play a little bit looser?
I think.
And yet they're also going to be able to, like, their defense is going to be that much stronger because they've already gotten their butts kicked. Like, as long as nobody goes down with an injury, which I'm seriously concerned about, as long as nobody goes down with an injury, don't you think they get through this series and they kind of become a wrecking ball to the finals?
Yeah. I think that they are, the way that they defend Milwaukee, I mean, the way they defend is, it's kind of like playing a team that plays zone. I feel like it's still zone kind of so many zone principles. It feels like in what they do, I mean, it's switching. They're switching, but they're loading up so much of the paint and all that. It just feels like they're, it's kind of like playing a team that zones up all the time. And you just have to kind of think a certain way to play against that team. Whereas playing the Nets, we're kind of almost playing like a regular season team because they don't scheme up so much and it's not so like scheme heavy. Going against, say Miami, you know, Miami will play some zone, but I think it's a little bit more based upon the talents of their broad, you know, their stable of players, you know, Bam and Jimmy and Hero and those guys, Lowry.
I was going to say, are you going to put Lowry in that mix? Or are you going to put Hero above him?
You know, maybe. I mean, he's a sixth man. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, well, does Lowry still scare the hell out of me? Yeah. Especially in a close game, you know, he scares me, but I don't think he's, especially being injured, I mean, he's not quite what he was, but
yeah,
I guess the point, your point is, yeah, I really would want to get past the series. Because it's not fun to lose to this team. It doesn't feel like that you're losing to a better team. It feels like it's a trick. And I don't, that just kind of rubs me the wrong way a little bit.
They've been letting Giannis like charge his whole career. I mean, they just basically have let him do this.
We used to have Aaron Baines kind of in the middle to kind of take the bulk, right? Like that was,
yeah.
You know, and nothing has really changed, really. If you think of, I mean, yeah, he can shoot a little bit more. He's, you know, he hit a three today, you know, a couple from mid range, but I want to keep letting him shoot those, right? Like that's, nothing has really changed in that regard. But if anything, that's just like a change up for a guy who wants to throw fastballs all the time.
Yeah. So, I almost feel like since he throws his knee up when he comes charging through you, that as a defender, you should just go ahead and take the foul every time he comes in and throw your knee up, right? Just, you know, just get him in the gut, you know, be like, yeah, dude, every time you come in here, we're okay with a foul. Just keep coming and then just use more bodies and have him come on. The like Robert Williams this is probably the worst series for him. Mm-hmm. And because he just doesn't have that physicality, you know, he's more of an athletic influencer and shot, you know, alterer.
He's a help defender.
He's a help defender.
He's a plus help defender. And against other teams, it works well. On this team, I think there is several. I mean, Rob was the team worst in plus minus today. He's a minus 13. You're right. Physicality, he needs to be able to own more of that. And I think that's why you had to have Horford out there as opposed to Rob. But Rob's got there's more in him than what he's provided.
Oh, yeah.
In this game today. He had a great start to game one. And I think he can contribute in the series. They weren't finding him very well in game one. I don't think they really found him much in game two. And I think a lot of that was
he had a few dunks and stuff, but yeah,
they weren't driving.
Lopez has given him fits too, though, defensively, like on offense, a lot of that, like Rob's just having a hard time finding the putbacks, right? Cause he's got to get the rebound and there's no lob passes, you know, Lopez is just too lengthy to really, for them to find those lob passes that they do.
I think they can get them to him. I think there's a way to get it to him. I don't think they were looking the first two games very first game particularly. I don't think they looked very hard today. I don't think they looked for him at all. And if they don't do that, then his role in the offense is pretty limited. I mean, he can pass the ball and that's great, but in terms of
his role on the defense just doesn't match up well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough to see him get exposed. And yeah, maybe if he hadn't had knee surgery, you know,
that's
whatnot.
A big deal. That's a big deal. I think, you know, I think not being able to, I think he's out of sync still. I mean, he looked good, but he's just not where he was.
Do you think game four will mirror game two? Because here's the thing too, like they know these guys are getting their butts kicked, right? So how many days off from Tuesday to Saturday, right? Like one of the oddest stretches of time off between two games in postseason history that
Monday.
I can remember.
Monday.
Yeah. Monday to Saturday.
Yeah.
Just a very odd stretch of time But now it's one day off and a game.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to see them break that up a little bit, but you almost wonder if they let this one be physical again because they know they had 5 days off or whatever it was, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 4 days, 5 days off. Yeah. And I wonder if they don't like lay it. Yeah. Well, I think it plays into our hands with one day off.
Yeah.
If these guys are beat up. Here's something I've always wondered that I know that teams after games like take clips and send them into the league and say, hey, we don't really like the way that this was. But do they ever go back to the league and be like, hey, the way that you're allowing these games to be played, you know, is it's going to cause our players to be injured. Like you're literally hurting, you know, our product from the standpoint of like our ability from a business standpoint. Like if somebody goes down, not just because we less playoff games, right? Because if we lose sour grapes, meh. But like, look at these plays. Somebody's going to get hurt. Like, do you think they ever like go back to the league and say like what I've been saying since game one, this is dangerous. Like this is seriously dangerous. And you know, you could cost a player their career. You could, because that's,
when Tatum went down on the stanchion after Giannis tried to, you know, block his shot.
How is that not a flagrant?
Well, you know,
I mean, I get it. He didn't do anything extra, right? No wind up, no any, but he did basically just throw his body at Tatum.
Yeah. Yeah.
With, I mean, listen, if it's funny the way that the TV covers this because they just show the last part of it. Right. But if you actually watch the chase down, you can almost see, you can almost see in Giannis's eyes, I'm going to fucking kill this guy.
Yeah. Cause there was no way he was going to get there. I mean, if he did get there, it would have been, you know, and Giannis,
it was totally unnecessary. It was totally unnecessary.
He was late to recognize Tatum had a step ahead.
Right.
It's not like he's some, you know, Peyton Pritchard, you know, 6'1" guy who is barely getting off the ground. I mean, Tatum is going to get up there. He's going to throw it down. And to Giannis's credit, he did meet him there, but he's late. Yeah. There was no way he was going
What if Tatum's head was at the backboard and he was laying it in at the same time that Giannis is coming in on that play,
right?
And supposedly making a play, and Tatum's head gets smashed up against the backboard.
Yeah.
Cause that's the, like, yeah, part of the reason he got there too was because Tatum knew that he had all the space he needed.
Yeah.
And part of the reason he got there is because all he had to do was put his hand near the ball, but he was throwing his body. I don't believe it looks good, but I don't believe that Giannis ever had any intention of actually blocking that shot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's right. And I think that's one thing the Celtics, they're tougher, but playoff toughness and the ability to send messages is something they haven't really figured out yet, I don't think.
No, they're going to have to. The other thing that Tatum could have done was easily got an and one instead, and he wasn't smart about that, because if he had done it and then, like, knowing Giannis was out of control, all he had to do was stop with the ball and plant his feet and let Giannis go flying over him and then go up with it. And then,
well, he did. He got the N1. He just didn't get the flagrant.
He didn't get the, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, my bad.
We're going to talk about what's going to change, but I do want to talk about the end of the game a little bit.
Okay.
So that Marcus does a great job. First of all, the three pointer, he's up in the air. Right. So he's left. He's square to the basket.
And his arms are moving up.
You can say it's a rip through. I'm fine with saying, okay, well, maybe he's ripping through. We've seen that call. Durant did it. Clay did it. All those guys. But he's in the air. He's square to the hoop. And he's clearly looking at the rim. And you can say that he's trying to draw the foul there. Sure, maybe.
But
it's not like his feet are on the ground.
He's not trying to draw the foul in the I'm just trying to get three at the free throw line, draw the foul.
Right.
You know, he's trying to draw the foul because he's getting his butt kicked.
Right.
Like they're flying over his body, two of them.
He's legitimately shooting a 3-point shot.
Yes.
And the fact that if that's the rule, then the rule should change. If your feet are in the air, you're square to the basket, you're looking at the rim, and somebody comes down in your hand, that's a 3-pointer.
On your hand, on your body. Well,
right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
They weren't like, it wasn't like their hand came down on his hand.
Right.
Their body came down on his arm and then his body.
True. Like, true.
Yeah.
So that's three shots, right? That ties the game up.
That's three shots for every other player in the league on any other night.
There you go. If it's Clay, right. So, all right. So he misses, he makes the first one. 2-point game, tremendous intentional miss, gets his own rebound, puts back, two hands on his shoulders, Bobby Portis. Any call on that? Make the official call it, go to the rim and make sure they call it. No call, all right? Rob, tip, didn't go. Okay, trying, we're in there. Horford, you know, just, you know, has it on his hand. He's a tenth of a second too late. But there's really two situations there where Marcus Smart should have had chances to tie the game.
Yeah.
And he was not given those chances.
Also, throw him some credit for getting it off the rim and getting his own rebound.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when we see the last 2-minute report tomorrow, what do you think the chances are that the league's going to say that he should have one, that it should have been a 3-pointer? I think there's no way that happens, right?
Not a chance.
And then two, will they acknowledge that there was a foul on Portis when he put back his rebound?
Yeah. Not a chance.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Not a chance.
No mistakes found, I bet.
No. They'll find a mistake earlier in the 2 minutes.
But not
so that
there,
it seems more innocuous. Right.
Right.
Right. They'll be like, oh, we're going to admit culpability, but we're going to do it far enough back that, you know.
It was a reach there. And so there should have been, when Tatum was driving the ball around half court, when Wesley Matthews hand checked him, like, oh, great. Thanks for finding that one there, Hoff. That's, the end of the game was frustrating to me because, if the outcome works itself out, then we can just kind of chalk it up and say, well, the refs just had another bad day, right? Oh, well, ho-hum. But now this one has consequence. You know, that's the hardest part for me in trying to swallow a game like this, is that if those things don't end up affecting the final score or the outcome, I can just kind of grin and bear it. But when it impacts how this series is going to play out because of all the things we've been talking about for the last however long we've been recording, that's where the vitriol and the anger just kind of continues for days on end. And so until Monday night, I'm breathing fire, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm breathing fire. And I think they win game four. What about you? Do you think it goes back to
Boston? No, I think they do. I think they've got this kind of like squared away for 7 games. Celtics at home in 7.
The one thing I'd say though.
No, I'm sorry. It just feels rigged, you know? I mean,
yeah,
like,
I agree.
And I've had that. Listen, many people have had that feeling based on the way games are officiated, the way that the tone is set in the series. You know, one of the downsides are if the Celtics do retaliate and it gets them this win and they carry it into the next season, they could find themselves in foul trouble super early because all of a sudden it could swing the other way. It's the lack of consistency. The NBA is... this is the part of the NBA that is so WWE, and they keep talking about points of emphasis and blah, 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 but it's all bullshit.
Right.
It is.
And how many of these you know, tight postseason series games. Have you and I done this?
How many of them really are going to go to seven? Like, yeah.
Well, but no. What I'm saying is, how many of these post-game kind of shows have we done over the last 17 years for one franchise, just one, where we spend 80% of the time talking about the way the game was officiated as opposed to how the game was played?
Yeah.
Is that really the game that the NBA wants to sell to the public? I can't believe it is. But here we are, and we've been there, and that's the frustrating part, because I think this Celtics team is good enough to win a championship. I really do.
No, I think it's clear.
But do they?
To be honest with you, it's clear. It's clear that they are. They.
But do they fit the narrative, Justin?
Oh well, yeah.
Right. That's what you and I, you know, the 08 team fit the narrative. It was perfect. It made sense for everybody.
Right.
Does this team fit a narrative that makes sense for, you know, everyone at the league headquarters? I don't know. I hate to go, you know, grassy knoll on everybody.
You know what team didn't fit the narrative?
Who?
The bubble Celtics, which is why that fix was so, that was one of the most difficult pills to swallow. They were the narrative. You know, and at the same time, do you remember during the bubble, I was saying, God, it would be great once Phoenix arrives to have the Celtics and Phoenix battling it out in the finals. Like, I remember saying back then, that's what I want to see. Mm-hmm. That's what the NBA should want to see. Mm-hmm. That's that. And so that's, and I'm still there now. Especially with, like, you've got Chris Paul and Al Horford as these older veterans who are getting it done. You know, they've kind of lots of mileage on those legs with this young cast of drafted players around them. It's that is a great story.
Celtics Suns.
Yes.
Two long-term franchises make so much, even Celtics Warriors.
Yep.
But I think Celtics Suns is really the one that they're looking at. And I do think you can fall out of favor. I think the Celtics did fall out of favor in that Miami series. And so the worms started to turn against them. And I do think you somewhat earn that stuff. I think you earn your luck in a way. And so Tatum's performance today is why you can lose that. You can lose, I think, a hold of the momentum and the narrative and everything else. And so going into game four, Jason Tatum needs to enter that conversation with, I'm going downhill.
Yeah, he just needs
and
to.
I'm gonna dunk on Brook Lopez several times and Bobby Portis several times, and I don't care how many times it takes. I'm gonna keep throwing down on their head, and because there was a mentality I felt like where he's not trying. He was thinking too much. It felt like he was. Like a step removed from the game in part.
Yeah.
And I think he's got a little bit more of a Jaylen Brown mindset, honestly. I think
Jaylen has really owned this series outside of game one.
Outside of game one, right? Two and three, he was really, really good. You know, really the guy who brought him back in the fourth quarter. Sometimes you need that.
How weird is it that the game that they won is the one that Marcus Smart didn't play? And when you look at the defense, like, it's an anomaly. This is not a criticism of Marcus Smart. I just think it's so bizarre
that
their shorthanded one is the one that they dominated like that.
Yeah.
That only speaks more volumes. Like, Marcus is on the ground constantly with non-calls. And, you know, we can talk about Tatum, you know, throwing up a stinker, but honestly, like, the maltreatment of the NBA's defensive player of the year. Mm-hmm. You nominated him. You put him on that pedestal. Mm-hmm. You made him the first, you know, point guard to win that award in freaking 20 years or whatever.
Yeah.
You did that, NBA. So why aren't you giving him the respect that he deserves? I get it. Giannis was the MVP. Mm-hmm. You set precedent, .. If I say .. again on this show, I'm going to lose my mind. You say you put him up there. You put Giannis up there.
Mm-hmm.
You just gave Marcus Smart an accolade and an acknowledgement.
Right.
And now you're pretending it didn't exist. He's getting no. He just got the award. and he's getting, it's like the, it's like, ah, yeah, we gave it to him. We gave it to him because we wouldn't give him a call and he kept getting his ass kicked anyway. So we just decided here's your, for taking a beating and not getting anything for it award. Right? Like exactly. Seriously, this has been going on for years with him.
He, in terms of that same list, I think Jason Tatum is going to be a first team all NBA player. Right. Joining Giannis on that list. Yeah. And if that's the case, should he not have the same treatment that Giannis gets? And he's not getting it. Not by a long time.
Never has.
But in this
That's series, why he always had his hands up. But that only made it worse.
Right.
Because then they were like, no, kid, you earn your way in this league.
Exactly. Well, he's not getting anything in this series. And so when you see those two things held up so starkly, you know, I think it will have an impact. The number of people outside of our sphere of Celtics fans and the like who recognize what a shit show the NBA's officials put on today. I think it will have an impact in game four.
The national media is pointing it out. They're still saying that the Celtics missed chances, and I agree.
Right.
But the national media is calling this out. Like, so it's
when they're agreeing with us on that stuff.
Yeah, you know. That's when it's a problem. That's when it's a problem. All right, I think we got to wrap it up. You want to just predict game four win? We both did. Do you want to go further than that?
Yeah.
When's game five?
Game five win. We're going all the way through, man. This is enough of this nonsense.
Yeah, you know? I think they win two in a row in this series, so it's got to be those two. And then lose six on the road again with the fix in, and then game seven at home, they win in front of everybody. And then we're thanking our lucky stars that they got the two seed in that log jam. Because obviously in this series, it would have made a difference and did. So game four and five away and home, lose away, win at home.
Yeah.
So Celtics in seven.
So we're on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday jaunt with this series, and then potentially Sunday at the Garden. Let's hope.
Man, I got some stuff going on this week too. I'm gonna be watching loosely on Monday and Wednesday. That stinks.
Well, let's hope there's no matinee for Sunday. All right. Enough of these damn matinee games. Because they're not working.
Never has.
There hasn't been a good matinee.
Never has.
To play. They bombed out the Washington Wizards about a month ago, and that was the last time the Celtics had a good game on a matinee. So
as much as things changed,
enough.
They really just stay the same.
So true. So true, man.
All right, John. Well, that means if we come back and do a show, there'll be three games in the books, and we'll be looking ahead at game seven at that point, and it could be, hopefully not, a matinee game. So, wait, when is game seven? Is that Sunday?
Sunday.
We just don't know the time yet. Yeah.
Right.
Sunday. All right, so next time we talk, we'll be hopefully it's already in the books.
Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully we've won and we're looking ahead to the next series.
Three. It's over Friday.
But you know it's going seven, everybody. You know it's going seven. So that's just what it is. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for this week's show. As a reminder, you can follow Celtic Stuff Live on Twitter at @CSL_TweetLive. You can follow John at @CSL_Duke. You can follow me at @CSL_Justin. As always, a heartfelt thank you to everybody for tuning in. And we'd love a rating and a review because your feedback is important to the show. And on behalf of the founder of CLNS Media, Nick Gelso, and my co-host, John Duke, I'm Justin Poole, and thank you for listening to this week's episode of Celtic Stuff Live.